Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 150, the four stanzas. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh, and what follows. Psalter 150, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 15, the verses 1 through 16. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 15, the first 16 verses. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either would woman have 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer today Miranda Vandenberg, who hopes to turn 18 in the day of tomorrow. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then how good, how merciful, and how long-suffering thou art over us and our children. It has pleased thee to grant another Lord's Day as such a precious gift, which thou hast given to the children of men, that a day may be set apart, that we may be given to rest from our daily labors, and tend especially to the needs of our never-dying soul. Then yesterday evening, then thou wast given reasons unto us and our children, to the family circles, and to the congregation, to erect an other Ebenezer. Where in the past week, then thou wast spared, then thou wast cared, thou hast provided, thou hast protected, then thou wast not in the past week taken one away by the cold hand of death, We were not called upon to go to the cemetery and the week that lies behind us. There have been weeks where it has been so different. Lord, may we be given to be wonder thy great mercy when we consider what we deserve, when we contemplate that we are all lying under the sentence of death, and then in this morning hour by renewal, then thy holy law was read, and then we must all exclaim that we are very guilty. Oh, we are transgressors from the womb. And then we may still be in the precious day of grace. And then in thy great faithfulness, then thou yet granteth that the moon may give her light during the night seasons, and that the sun may shine with all its brilliance. And thou wast promised in thy holy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. O Lord, then we humbly beg thee in this day that thou may work mightily and lovingly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. We live in such a solemn and a serious time, and there is written in thy word in a certain place that it is the beginning of sorrows. Then thou continuest to go forth with thy judgment of the virus over the length and the breadth of the earth. And then, alas, so very little acknowledgement that thou reignest, that thou rulest, and that all our efforts that they have to be blessed, but man continues to trust in their own wisdom and refuseth to bow before thee. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, may it please thee to richly bless thy word, that sinners, boys and girls, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that they may be converted by thee unto thee, to become what we are, and that is a poor lost sinner that needs to be saved. Lord, may it please thee to bless thy word, uncover false foundations, but wilt thou remember thy people? Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they dwell. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou also knowest how they have come up to thy house in this morning hour. Ah, may there have come a few with a sigh and with a cry, with their eyes looking upward, expecting all good from thee alone. And may thy people need, oh, wilt thou grant those further leadings to be administered out of thy fullness, and to receive grace for grace, and to need thy dear Son as thy prophet to instruct, as that great high priest, that only high priest to atone, but also to pray and thank at thy right hand, and as that eternal and mighty King, to rule over them in that warfare against that triple-headed enemy. Lord, remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake. Remember all mission work and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. May in this day the kingdom of Satan be troubled and broken down, and that the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ, that it may be expanded, that it may be built up, and that it may be strengthened. Remember the many temporal needs, Lord. Wilt thou continue to remember, to uphold, to strengthen, and to comfort all the mourning ones, the widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Ah, Lord, when in the family circle, when thou continues to spare, may we be given to pause oftentimes and to bewonder thy goodness, where thou maketh a difference where there is no difference, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember all the elderly ones, the care home, with those that care for them, by renewal, an empty place has come amongst them. And this time, not the elderly, but the younger, Lord, may it be used among young and old, that also in our Bethesda, that thou may grant a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, a revival among young and old. We are all traveling towards our long home, and only two ways, two destinations, and two peoples. May we be given to examine each our hearts, where our journey is to. Remember all under the physician's care. There are many of them, different circumstances. They are almost perfectly known unto thee. May the means be further blessed, grand strengthening, a grand healing, and that these outward callings may be used, that send sick souls, that they may be brought at the feet of that heavenly physician who can save to the uttermost. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, the family circles, remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. And may it please thee to anoint with fresh oil from above. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. May there be a Aaron's and hers among young and old. Remember the listeners apart in their dwellings. May that become an unbearable burden. May it please thee then to go from bench to bench and from heart to heart and from dwelling to dwelling. Help the little boys and girls. Thou only needest one word. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, buyers and sellers, outwardly, and also in a spiritual way. Lord, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Thou was granted in the past week that the annual school meeting could take place. We commend unto thee the two members that have been reelected to the school board. Wilt thou remember them with the whole school board and their weighty and responsible task? Wilt thou also bless where it has been decided to add an addition to the school? May it prosper in thy hand. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. We are poor sinners, fallen sons and daughters of Adam. But now the wonder that thou wast thought and that thou wast made a way possible, that poor and needy sinners may be saved, O Lord. In these solemn times, may it yet please thee to do a great work amongst us. Thou art speaking in such solemn ways. May it be applied by thy Spirit. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 93, the four stanzas. The trespass of the wicked men most plainly testifies that fear of God's most holy name is not before his eyes. The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 93, the four stanzas. the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 15, the verses 11 through 16. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Our text words speak of the prodigal son leaving his father with four thoughts. In the first place, the dissatisfied son. In the second place, the demanding son. In the third place, the wasting son. And in the fourth place, the needy son. The prodigal son leaving his father. The dissatisfied son, the demanding son, the wasting son, and the needy son. Beloved congregation, we read at the beginning of this chapter, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That word all, that refers to publicans and sinners in the vicinity, and the greatest part, those boys and girls. Then we read of publicans and sinners, to say it simply, that they have come to church. Does not mean it was in a church building, but they have come to hear the great prophet. Because I read in Matthew 7 verse 29 that he spoke with power and with authority. And may I now ask you, how have you come up to God's house in this morning hour? Have there come up a few publicans and a few sinners? Or have you come up as a good church-going person? Have there have been a few that have come up with a sigh and with a cry? And in this week, given to confess sins with bitter tears, with a confession of your many sins, a realization of your lost condition, and to learn more and more that with everything that you have done, and not done, that you are a sinner still. In this chapter, then we read of two kinds of people, of course, in the true sense of the word, then our boys and girls know it. Then there are boys and girls without a new heart. And when the Lord works, then we shall be a boy and a girl with a new heart. We read in Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, of those two ways, of those two destinations, and of two peoples. A people by nature walking on that broad way that leadeth to hell, and a people who by free and sovereign grace have been placed upon that narrow way that leadeth to heaven. But in this chapter, then it especially speaks of publicans and of Pharisees. Who were those publicans? They were the tax collectors for the Roman authority. Then the Lord has visited the children of Israel in the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi 3, the verses 9 and 10, they have refused to give their tithes for the service of the Lord. And then the prophet has put it in very plain language, that they were robbing their God. And now a time has come among the children of Israel that they were required to pay taxes to the Roman Empire. And then those publicans, they were hired to collect those taxes, received a certain commission. But alas, there were amongst them that have taken more. They were actually stealing from their own people. Thus then we can understand that those publicans, and surely there were also publicans that were honest, making a living, providing for their family, but alas. And then when there were those that were very dishonest, that has become rich at the expense of the Jewish people, that they were disliked very much by the Jewish people. And when there were a certain number, how great that number was, we do not know, but that they were all placed under one umbrella. When we think about those matters, then what a calling we have in the midst of the church, that God's word may have authority in all aspects in our life, that the name of the Lord is not blasphemed on our account. Thus publicans and sinners. Then we also read in this chapter that there were the Pharisees and the scribes. Who were now the Pharisees? History tells us that there were about 6,000 in the time of Jesus. Their beginning can be traced to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes in approximately the year 169, when the temple has been profaned And when the Lord has raised up the house of the Maccabees, that the temple has been restored, and then there were among the Jews that had a deep impression why the judgments of the Lord have come upon them. It was because of their sins that they have been led into captivity. It was because of their sins what has transpired in the last 400 years before the coming of Christ. May we also have an impression of the Lord speaking in our days, where the virus continues to spread over the length and the breadth of the earth, notwithstanding all that man is attempting, and alas, mostly without asking the Lord for his blessing. We may be afraid that it is the beginning of sorrows. The Lord has spoken. By death, by taking away out of her midst young and old. And how is it now under the Lord's speaking? Do we have an impression that the Lord has something special to say? Is repentance found amongst us and our children? Because in this chapter, then it speaks especially of the necessity of repentance. But now, in that time, there were among the Jewish people that had an impression indeed that it is a bitter thing to sin against the Lord, to despise His statutes and His holy word. It was a time that the Greek culture has penetrated also the church, and that has filled different ones with fear. And to that end, the Pharisees have come about instructing the people that it is a better thing to sin against the just and good-doing God, to willfully despise His law and His commandments. Thus we would say the beginning of the Pharisees that was worthy of commendation. But now what has taken place? We read in the Scriptures of the righteousness of the scribes. Of course, when we are given to walk, even outwardly, oh, we must learn that we are sinners. But when we and our families may be given to walk, even in an outward way, according to this holy word, then I read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, those that honor me, I will honor, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We read in Mark 10 of that rich young man that was trusting in his works, but was concerned about inheriting eternal life. And when Christ has recited the second table, then He has said, of course, it was in ignorance that He has said it. He did not understand the spirituality of the law, and He did not have that uncovering light of the Holy Spirit. But then He has said, that he has kept all those things from his youth. Who would dare to say the same? And then I read in Mark 10, verse 21, that Jesus, beholding him, that he loved him, very profound words. But now concerning those Pharisees, concerning their works, oh, then we must tell you that there were so many amongst them. Oh, the Lord has also converted Pharisees, but for a greater part. Do you know what those Pharisees have done? That they had many laws, about 600, and that many of them were loopholes, that they would not have to obey the word of God. Thus then we have a picture of their life, and to that end, in Matthew 23, then Christ has pronounced the woes upon those Pharisees, that they were hypocrites. We read in verse 3, that they say, but that they do not, and that they laid heavy burdens upon the people, but that they did not walk accordingly. And those Pharisees, they were not humble people, but they were trusting in whom they were. They were trusting in their self-righteousness, that they would go to heaven. And now in this chapter, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. Have such sinners come up in this morning? May I ask you, congregation, have you now considered your heart in this morning? Oh, were you glad yesterday evening that another Sabbath day was drawing nigh, that you could go to church? And why have we now come up? Oh, has it been with those publicans and sinners? It is specifically added that they have come to hear him. But, and the Pharisees and scribes, those scribes, they were instructed in the law of Moses, murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What a precious word. What a precious preaching of those Pharisees and scribes, that have not become a true sinner, a great sinner before the Lord, that have looked down upon those publicans. What a rich word. Oh, are there sinners and publicans? And then it is declared, this man, that is that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, who has left his Father's house, who has come upon this cursed earth. Oh, he has come to save sinners. Oh, what a precious word, this man, receive us sinners. Oh, is there a soul in my midst that is truly a sinner indeed, that has perhaps thought in this week, is there now a sinner like I am, so black and so vile, a sinner that has received so many mercies, a sinner that has received so many callings, a sinner that has heard so many sermons, and yet a black and a vile sinner? All are their sinners because congregation, the Lord has a people upon the earth, and that learned both the publican, the sinner, and the Pharisee. Oh, what a trouble they have. But now what a wonderful word. That is a sermon by itself. But we must come to our text words. This man receiveth sinners and publicans. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, for those poor and needy sinners. Oh, we have not one example. Oh, when a poor, when a needy, when a lost, when a burdened sinner has come, all their faith has been tried. But the blessing of salvation, thus congregation, what is our trouble? That we are too much the Pharisee, too good to be saved. And now in this chapter, then for those sinners and publicans, but also for murmuring Pharisees, then Christ, then he has given three parables. Our children, they know the three parables. And then it speaks of three things that are lost. In the first parable, it speaks of 100 sheep and one that is lost. In the second parable, then it speaks of a woman that had 10 coins and one is lost. In the third parable, and that is what our text speaks of, that speaks of 2 sons. And that one was lost and wandered into a far country. In the first parable, then it speaks of a foolish sheep, because sheep, they are foolish. Does the psalmist not say in Psalm 119, verse 176, oh, to have wandered as a sheep. And then in the second parable, it speaks of a coin, not a living coin, but a dead coin, a coin that knows nothing. And now in the third parable, then it speaks of the lost son. Thus that was a willful rebellion by the son. When we consider these three parables, then in the first parable, it speaks of the shepherd. Do we not read in John 10 that Christ is called the good shepherd? Oh, he has come to save his sheep. Thus that especially speaks of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second parable, then it speaks of the necessity of a candle. That speaks of light, that may enlighten. It is true. In John 8, verse 12, then Christ is called the light of the world, because in this chapter, then Christ is given to declare his wonderful work in the saving of sinners, and how Christ works by word and by spirit, and that spirit that is as a light to uncover, but also to show forth the precious truths of the gospel as they are in Christ Jesus. In our third parable, then it speaks of the father with 2 sons. the parable of the prodigal son, that is much instruction for us and our children, but there can also be many errors concerning that parable. Oh, fathers and mothers with prodigal sons and daughters who in this day are wandering over the earth in the world under a false religion, then what an encouragement this parable is. Oh, may you be given to beg, and I know Apostle Paul has declared in Romans 8, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. To that end, may the Lord grant those exercises for prodigal sons and for prodigal daughters. And then it can also be among our people and among our youth under those precious doctrines of free and sovereign grace, that the thought even arises in our mind that it does not make so much difference how we live, whether we remain under the truth or whether we become a prodigal son and a prodigal daughter. But, oh, young and old, do we not sing when our children receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds he will not sever. Then it pleases the Lord, think of the Old Testament, where even a Balaam, when he has seen that encampment, that orderly encampment, with a tabernacle in their midst, it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And then he has declared in Numbers 24, verse 5, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Then it has pleased the Lord in the Old Testament to work under the external administration of the covenant. And so the Lord continues to work under the New Testament. It is true, in the Old Testament, different ones, Rahab, Ruth, different ones, they have been brought in the church, but the Lord especially works under that external administration. And when the Lord grants many blessings, oh, young people, you are so privileged above most of the young people upon the earth that you were born under that precious truth, that truth where our fathers have shed their blood, burned on the stake, that truth of free and sovereign grace, that we may still have that truth in our midst. That is the special providence of the Lord. And then what a terrible thing it is to willfully say unto the Lord, I am not interested to remain under the truth. I shall go into the world. And let us be honest, oh, it is true, the Lord gathers those prodigal sons and those prodigal daughters from the ends of the earth. That is free and sovereign grace, and may be glorified. That we may see that it is all grace and grace alone. But we hope to hear in our parable, there lies the way declared that the Lord holds with the children of men when he saves them. That we learn that we are such a prodigal son and daughter. And then further, there are many biographies and autobiographies written of the conversion of people. And many of them are very remarkable histories. Prodigal sons and daughters that have become very wayward. Hope, young people, that the Lord may keep you. But that have become very wayward, maybe lifted out in the world, and then it has pleased the Lord to shoot an arrow of conviction and love into the heart of such a one, and then they have returned as a prodigal son and daughter. And then when we read those many books, then it can even be that our young people can even think that maybe such a prodigal son and daughter, to say it in human terms, has a greater chance to be converted than what he always said in church. But let us keep in mind, young and old, that prodigal sons and daughters, when they have left the truth, that they are the exceptions. The common way is when we are brought up, born under the truth. The Lord works by word and by spirit. The Lord is free. For a people, prodigal sons and daughters, because when the Lord works, he does not convict us of sins which we have not committed. And to that end, it is true in the life of those prodigal sons and daughters. Many times that conviction goes very deep. And then those prodigal sons and daughters, oh, they have experienced such a remarkable change also in their life, that it is very evident, and then it can be, when we are brought up under the truth, and especially when we are led in a more gentle way, as a Timothy, as a Samuel, an Obadiah, who feared the Lord from their youth, then it can even be that people think, if I had now been a prodigal son and daughter, and the Lord has powerfully stopped at me and brought me into the church, then I would not have so many doubts and not so many questions. Then surely I could believe. But I cannot tell exactly the sermon or the day when the Lord has stopped me. Oh, it is true. God's people shall all experience the same matters, because they are led and taught by the same Spirit, and they are instructed out of the Word of God. Thus the necessity that we do not misuse the Word of God. Maybe there is even a youth in our midst that has the thoughts, when I become a little older, then I am done with the church. Oh, young people, may the Lord keep you under that old truth. And may the Lord convert you. But now concerning this parable, when we hope to consider it in this morning, because it can be so often that we listen for another, and that we think that is now for prodigal sons and daughters, maybe a brother and sister, that is not in church this morning.
somewhere else. Oh, may we receive a prayer for them, that the Lord may stop them, that the Lord may turn them, and oh, then they shall come under that old truth and love and embrace that truth and willing to sacrifice for that truth. Oh, God's people shall learn. There's a one-sided work. The church shall learn. Free and sovereign grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. But now in this chapter, those three parables, then they teach us the way that the Lord holdeth with his people. In the first two parables, then we find more the Lord's work, because we do not read what that sheep, of course a sheep cannot talk but a type, what that sheep has experienced. Oh, of course. Oh, when that shepherd has found that lost sheep. Are there a few lost sheep? And now concerning those sheep to be found the first time, but that sheep implies that it was part of the fold and has wandered away. Oh, a backsliding church. What a privilege, what a blessing, when by renewal the good shepherd may pick a sheep up and put it on his shoulders, and that he may speak comfortably to them, and that he returns unto the flock. Ah, then there is rejoicing. But in that first parable and in that second parable, then it speaks more what the Lord does. But now in our parable also speaks of what the Lord does in the heart of his people. But then it speaks how it is experienced in the life of his children. And then in our parable congregation, then it does not begin with that kiss and with that embrace and with that ring and with the slaughter of that fatted calf and of that feast. And no, then it begins where that prodigal son was found. And now concerning, because this chapter that speaks especially of repentance, and that is so missed in our day, that repentance with that godly sorrow. Samuel Davis, a minister in the time of the Great Awakening. Ah, that was such a blessed time. Then there were so many souls that have experienced what we find in our parable of that prodigal son. Oh, he did not become so old. 37 years he died in 1761, but there was a time that he has experienced, oh, such a rich blessing, that among young and old, that they were converted, they have experienced what that prodigal son has experienced. And then he has stated in a certain place that he would never have a good and true hope of the true work of the Lord when a practical repentance and reformation was missing. Of course, Thomas Watson, a Puritan, then he has stated, oh, that we can never be saved because of our repentance. Oh, what a lesson for the flesh. Never to be saved because of our repentance. But he has added that it shall not go without repentance. And now we read, oh, Solomon's special things in this chapter concerning that lost sheep and that lost coin that was found, that there shall be joy in heaven among the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Young and old, has that now ever taken place in our life? Because when the Lord works, then we shall know it. Oh, in the beginning, I do not say that people can give it a name. But then we learn in beginning who the Lord is and who we are. And then we learn the bitterness of sin. Oh, then that godly sorrow shall be experienced. And then there shall come a repentance. And then there shall come a returning. But now our parable, let us first sing. Psalter 23, the first three stanzas. The God who sits enthroned on high, the foolish in their heart deny, and not one does good, corrupt in thought, unrighteous works their hands have wrought, and what follows. Psalter 23, the first three stanzas. the prodigal son leaving his father. And then in the first place, we find in our text words, the dissatisfied son. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The one was older, the other one was younger, and young and old, shall it be well? Then we must receive a knowledge of both of those sons in an experiential way. Then we do not read that in that family circle, that an empty place has come. What a blessing it is when the Lord may spare our family circles. We have experienced that it can suddenly be so different. May we be given to appreciate one another. May we be given oftentimes to count our blessings. Then it is clear from our parable that this father, that he was a farmer, that there was abundance, that there was not want, that the Lord has richly blessed them. It is so important. It is true. Many trials in this life. Job said in Job 14 verse 1, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Nevertheless, then we must continually confess what in Ezra has confessed. In Ezra 9 verse 13, under the trials of life, that the Lord punisheth not according as our iniquities deserve. Then, of course, boys and girls on that farm, then the two sons, they had to work. Paul has written to the Thessalonians that he that worketh not, he shall not eat. That is when we are healthy. And when there is opportunity, there was much to do on the farm. But then in our parable, it is evident, because we read, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that faileth to me. Thus then it is evident that young son, that he was not satisfied, and that he was not happy, that he was dissatisfied. And what a great danger that is for us and our children, and also for our youth. Then surely that young son, then he did not consider all the blessings, that he had a loving home, that he had work, that he had health and strength, but that his heart went after the world. How it was with his younger son, Reverend Murray McChain has written in a certain place, that he believed for a people that has been born under the truth, that each one of them, that there shall be certain time of convictions, an impression of God of their sins, and of that one thing needful. Is that still true in our day, then, congregation? Then you can give an answer. Is that still true in the year 2020? Or are the times so dark and so silent that there are amongst us that have to say, that I have never had those deep convictions and not so troubled about my sin, about my soul, but so busy as seeking it in the world. 'Tis possible a father had two sons, that also this younger son, that there were times that he had deep convictions, maybe even as a boy, that he has cried, that he has wept, can even be, was those sons, that in the early years that there is a certain expectation. But it is clear in our parable that it has become different, that he has become dissatisfied. Maybe there has come a time that father and mother, mother is not mentioned, but that the parents have seen it, that the younger son, when there was spoken concerning the things of the Lord, to say in an hour day, when the Bible was opened, when it was time to go to church, that younger son, that there was not so much interest, that he became quieter, that his thoughts were in the world, to say it in our day, that as a young boy, that he opened his Bible with less desire and closed it with no profit. Maybe even times that at night before he went to bed, that he did not even read his Bible, that he started to skip it, and that he forgot to bow his knees. The father had two sons. He became dissatisfied, became as a sheep. Boys and girls, maybe you have seen it. Maybe you have sheep at home, and then sometimes there can be a sheep that many times stands at the fence, looking through the fence, and where it seems that the grass is much greener, much fresher, and much tastier on the other side, and that you see that sheep walking up and down the fence, trying to find a hole that he can crawl through, and sometime taking other sheep along. A dissatisfied son. We read in Pilgrim's Progress that Christian was brought in the house of interpreter, and he was brought into a room, and then there were two little children sitting each on a chair. The oldest was called Patience, and the youngest was called Passion. And Patience was given to quietly sit on his chair, waiting for the good things that he would receive. But Passion was so dissatisfied, and he wanted everything now. He would not wait till the new year. And then someone brought him a bag of treasures, and they were soon gone. And then he was soon in rags. And now this younger son, a picture of Passion. Oh, those two children, what an instruction for us and our children, because we live in a society that we must have everything quick, everything immediately. We think of the world to buy now for things they do not need and pay later. Thus, what a temptation for us and our children that we resemble more Passion. Those two children, also good instruction for our couples that are courting, something to talk about together, about those two children, Patience and Passion. And now this young son, dissatisfied. What a danger for us and our children. And to that end, may there be spoken in the midst of the family circles the many blessings that the Lord has left amongst us and our children. When we consider the world, the dark and evil world, people in the world, what a troubles and what a trials that the Lord sends upon those that forsake the world. What a multitude that have not the scriptures. What a multitudes that have not the truth thereof. A dissatisfied son. And then in this parable, we must close, the Lord willing. Then we can continue when the Lord grants it, the coming Lord's Day. Then we have heard of publicans and sinners, and we have heard of Pharisees, young and old. How is it now with us? Have we now become the sinner? Have we now become a publican? And have we learned that we are a Pharisee, that we have sinned everything away? Because when we read of the dissatisfied son, we must close. But then we go back to paradise, where Adam and Eve, where they have taken of that forbidden fruit and become a prodigal son and a prodigal daughter. But oh, young and old, the wonders of grace, also the wonders that are declared in this chapter. We have heard it, that Jesus, that he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. May I now ask you, boys and girls, young people, older ones, have we now become a sinner? Have we become the sinner? Have we become a great sinner? Oh, a sinner that is learned in an experiential way to be such a prodigal son, first time, but also in the way of backsliding. But oh, then the love of a triune God, that there is a way that such sinners may be saved. Oh, this man, that is that precious Jesus, who has shed his blood, that he may purchase his sheep, his people. He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, what precious invitations for poor and needy people, but young and old, it must be experienced. Oh, may it please the Lord to use the simple instruction that it may be implied that we become that lost son, that we become that prodigal son, uncovered to our actual sins, the further leadings to our original sin, and to be given to experience what I read in Luke 19, verse 10, that he has come to save, to seek, and to save that which was lost. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant the application, and that in this day, that we may become the sinner, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, but that there may also be a soul given to experience the abounding grace of God, that there is grace for the chiefest of sinners, O Lord. May it please thee to work lovingly and mightily by thy Spirit. Otherwise, we shall continue to seek it where it can never be found, or as a self-righteous Pharisee, given to hope and trust in many things that are not a ground for eternity. We need as a sinner to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, watch over us in the furtherance of the Sabbath day. Bring the congregation together in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou remember and help the brother elder, grant an opening at the throne of grace. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 2, the stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 5. Blessed is he who makes the statutes of the Lord his chief delight, in God's law divinely perfect, meditating day and night. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a Reformation Day service this coming Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. The second wedding announcement of Stephen Gerrit Vater and Trine Van den Hazel. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, November 6th at 10:30 a.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And that on Saturday evening, there will be a youth evening, the youth of the combined youth group meeting this coming Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. in Nobleford, Psalter 2, the stanzas 2 through 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.